welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
You know, I'm a little disappointed. We were supposed to have a January 6th hearing to break down today, but they had to postpone it so they could depose the wife of a sitting Supreme Court justice.
Well, that and Hurricane Ian. That's too. Yeah, that's kind of the big one. They're like, well, I guess that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, it might be a bit of an issue. But that's, on one hand, you know, rough. But on the other hand, it lets us get directly in to psychopathy, like, right away on the show this week.
Yeah, this week in crazy. your boy is back right at the top of the list. Look, so we're going to play, because this came out, like, quite literally, we were recording.
While this interview was being aired.
Yeah, and everyone's like, did you see it? And I'm like, we're in the midst of all the shit from last week. Sorry. So you'll get our up-to-the-minute thoughts on the lunatic we used to have as president. So here is a video of Donald Trump in an interview with Sean Hannity last week explaining his thoughts on why, like, hey, man, like, is a DOJ case even, like, that serious? Because, like, I nailed it. Like, it's not a big deal. So here you go.
So let me ask you this question. Because I think this is the next logical question. Because the president of the United States, you, unlike, say, Hillary Clinton in her case, a president has the power to declassify.
Correct.
Okay. You had said on Truth Social a number of times you did declassify.
I did declassify, yes.
Okay. Is there a process? What was your process to declassify?
It doesn't have to be a process, as I understand it. You know, there's different people say different things. But as I understand it, there doesn't have to be.
Pause. As I understand it. No, here's the problem. You don't actually understand it.
Yeah, but see, tell me what he actually understands when it comes to any government procedure.
Yeah, dude, you were only the president for 4 years. Like, that's kind of crazy. You think they would brief you on this is how you declassify things. But as you understand it, like that, by the way, that's his out, right? Like, that's going to be his out as I understand it. Like, he says that very much on purpose.
You're the president of the United States. You can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it. And there doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be. You're the president. You make that decision. So when you send it, it's declassified. I declassified everything.
Oh, hold now, on a second. Time out. He declassified everything. Let the FOIA requests start coming in, my dudes. Let's fucking go.
I mean, again, I feel like that's a very dangerous thing. It's like a very weird stance to take. Because, yes, like, that means those documents are under the guise of a FOIA request. But, yeah, okay, continue.
And we were having a lot of problems with NARA. You know, NARA is a radical left group of people running that thing. And when you send documents...
I love that anything that disagrees with Republicans
is a radical social. These damn socialists in NARA, an organization that literally no one had probably heard of, even nerds, like no one knew them as NARA. Certainly, like, yeah, you know, like National Archives. Okay, fine, yeah, whatever. But, like, you know, it's like NARA. Like, oh man,
yeah, like the librarians of the government. Ooh, right. Scary. Like, and listen to how he frames them, which is very interesting too.
Documents over there, I would say there's a very good chance that a lot of those documents will never be seen again. There's also a lot of speculation because of what they did, the severity of the FBI coming and raiding Mar-a-Lago. Were they looking for the Hillary Clinton emails that were deleted, but they are around someplace?
So I just want to pause on the juxtaposition posed by that Hannity teeing up Trump earlier in the interview by saying, oh, it's different for you than it was for Hillary Clinton because you were the president. Mm-hmm. And then Trump's like, oh, like, you know, the National Archives, like, they came to Mar-a-Lago looking for the Hillary Clinton emails. Like, if Hillary Clinton wasn't the president, why would they need the Hillary Clinton emails? Also, why would you have the Hillary Clinton emails?
Why? Like, he just said that, like, if you pay attention to Trump, and you shouldn't, like, in general.
to be clear,
you shouldn't. You should save the brain cells that you have left, listeners. But if you pay attention to, like, his little sort of, like, his little like idiosyncratic like movements and things like that in his speech pattern. When he's getting ready to give you like a real bullshit line that he's been working on, he does this weird thing, and I'll go back so you can check it again. He does this really weird thing where he kind of breathes and he's like, "Ready? Here comes the bullshit." Like, it's really kind of a funny little tick that he has, right? And right before that, he says, "Oh, maybe they were looking for the Hillary Clinton emails." Like, dude, like, he feels like if he can get it out fast enough, no one can go, "Bullshit, I call bullshit on that. That's not true," right? And, like, it doesn't even make any sense what he's saying, right? Like, to your point, why would he have the Hillary Clinton emails? Why would the DOJ think that he had them? Because if he had them, he would release them. Like, that's...
Yeah, well, and here's the thing about it. Like, it just goes to the fact that, like, this is the drum that they've been beating for, like, literally the last 6-7 years at this point, right? Like, yeah. Hillary Clinton emails, radical left socialists. So, like, anything becomes that. Like if there's a problem that they're being attacked, like, that just gets pivoted on there. Except truly, it hasn't made sense before. But, like, truly in this case, like, you can't pivot to that. Like, it doesn't make sense at all, no. Like, how you're trying to frame this. Like, you look like an addled old man, which, coincidentally, he is. Like, so, you know.
Yeah, he is. He's confused. He's very, very confused. And I know, like, I get the memes of, like, oh, Biden is a confused old man. Like, I mean, he also is, right? Like, I'm not gonna pretend he isn't. But, like, don't act like Trump is some, like, super sharp guy. Like, he is not. Like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He just says nonsense. And the reason why it doesn't get the same response is because that nonsense is a trigger for a bunch of people. And they go, he'll look on the emails. Like, ding. Like, he said the magic phrase. Like, and everyone goes crazy. Like, it's Pee-wee's Playhouse or some shit, right? Like, that's their sort of, like, very myopic view of the world. Like, as long as he's saying the words that I want to hear and the phrases that I like, then he's fine. And that's like, yeah, but did you actually listen to the context in which he's saying these things? Because clearly you couldn't have been, because it's madness, right? And then, of course, there's the great line of, you can declassify things by just thinking about it.
Yeah, but merely think, like, oh, yes, I declassified that. Like, when? Like, I thought about it back then. I remembered it.
Yeah, like, hey, Professor X, calm down. No, you didn't. Like, that's dumb. And if you did, Joe Biden just thought about it. He reclassified them. Oh, shit, he declassified them again. Oh, shit, they're classified again. Like, that's a meaningless statement.
Schrodinger's classification. Right. like whatever the status is, whatever it needs to be to serve my interest, that's the status that it is.
That's the status, right. Like, oh, shit, are they trying to get FOIA requests? Classified again. Gotcha. Oh, did they take him away? Oh, unclassified. What are you gonna try? Are you gonna try it again? Let's see what we do. Like, that's stupid. Also, you don't like his idea of, like, the president can just say there's no procedure doesn't actually make sense, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it doesn't make sense on its face, right? Obviously. But they stamp the word classified on documents so that anyone looking at the document knows its status. If you can just declassify things with no procedure, then how would we know what was classified and what is not classified? The whole point is that those things are clearly labeled that this is classified. And when it becomes declassified, it is clearly labeled that it has become declassified. So the idea, the mere weird simplicity in which he's talking about that is somehow even dumber than the actual simplicity of it. Like, if it's stamped classified, dumb. It's classified, right? But he's trying to make it into this sort of, like, muddy nonsense.
And again, I have to point out the same thing that I pointed out last week. Again, reminder, the classification of the documents is not the primary issue at hand. It's the fact that he had them in the first place.
To begin with. By the way, I know there are no MAGA people watching or listening to this.
You never know.
Yeah, but maybe. Okay.
We're broadening our reach, Jay. We have some wackos come into the comments every now and then. So
that is true. To
show their whole ass. So.
Yeah. Welcome. So here's a question for MAGA folks. If the FBI planted documents, how did he know which ones to declassify? He just so happened to declassify the exact documents that they planted? Why is it that he keeps saying that in the media, but in the courtroom, they never bring it up?
Yeah, it's
you don't
weird.
Think that's weird?
It's odd that the stories don't line up there.
Yeah, it's
very perplexing.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I'm going to take a wild guess. Stab in the dark. Donald Trump is flailing, and he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about, and he's just trying to come up with anything to keep Republicans on his side. I don't know why it's working. That's actually a real question. But
I go back to the point that I can't understand where you have to be at, like the mental gymnastics that a person has to do to be like, nah, this is still my guy. Like I'm going to contort the situation into whatever way I need to justify the fact that I still support this dude.
Yeah.
Whatever ridiculous thing pops in my mind, whatever, you know, five dimensional chess I have to resolve in my head in order to make this make sense. Like despite the, you know, the direct contradictions, despite the story changing every other second, like, nah, this is still my guy. What is the level of just fucking brain worm nonsense you have to be on to still do this? Like, I would respect them more if they were just like, yeah, I know he's completely full of shit. Like, he's a fucking idiot, but he also supports the party who does the things that I like, you know, be racist and, you know,
right.
Don't let women have all, you know, bodily autonomy over there.
Right. At least be honest. And yeah. Be
this guy's right. Fucking insane, but, you know. What's the alternative? Joe Biden?
No, right? Like, I mean, like, if they did come out and say something like that, it'd be like, I mean, I think you're a fucking nutcase anyway, but, like, at least I can respect your honesty. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, and, like, your lack of gullibility, right? Like, the people who are still listening to this guy are incredibly gullible. I don't understand how you could watch any of that interview and be like, yeah, or just that clip and just be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Or just be an observer of the last 6 years of American life.
Right. I don't get it. But I did certainly have fun when I saw that clip, because people were like, oh, he said you could declassify just by thinking. I was like, you're taking that out of context. That's not what he – oh, he really said that. Wow, that's insane. That's actually
– I love when he does interviews like this because – and like we cut it off before we got to this part, but like – I can't remember what he says exactly, but it was right around this time. And Hannity realizes that the train is careening off the tracks, and he tries to like write it as quickly as possible because he knows that this is utter fucking nonsense.
Yep.
And he has to, but he has to make it look plausible, and he has to give him an out. And Trump just doesn't take the out. Like, he just he does what he does and just fucking barrels forward because he's incapable of understanding like social cues or subtle nudges.
Subtlety is not in his vocabulary, dude.
Not even a little bit. No. Not even a little bit.
I will be interested, not to be like morbid about it, but I will be very interested to hear people's honest opinions, if those ever come to light, after he dies. Like, you know, like honest opinions from people who were like really were close to him. Like, no, I actually thought he was stupid. Like, you know what I mean? Like... Like, what does Sean Hannity really – and look, I think Sean Hannity's head is made of rocks, right? So I don't actually think Sean Hannity is that bright either. But I think Sean Hannity is brighter than Trump. And so I think, like you said, he sees the car careening off the road, right? And he's like, fucking come back, right? What does he go home and say to his wife, like, I don't know, man. This is the guy. Jesus Christ. Like, what does he say? Like, he's got to know in his heart of hearts, like, I don't think this guy is bright, and I think maybe this guy is going to make a lot of huge mistakes.
Yeah, but a guy like Hannity is also understands that he's malleable from the media. Like, he understands that, like, he has a certain level. Hannity has a certain level of, like, sway in terms of guiding his thinking because, again, he's an empty vessel. In many ways, he doesn't actually have principles. He just wants to do the things that make him popular and powerful. You know what I mean? And protects his self-interest. Like, that's really the only thing he actually cares about is just making sure that his interests are protected.
Yeah.
And,
like,
you know.
Trump would have actually been, and I, like, party aside, right? Let's say parties didn't matter. And, like, let's say Republicans and Democrats, it was just like, down the line, just doesn't matter. I know for some people, they think it doesn't matter. That's nonsense. But, like, you know, nuance is dead. But, like, let's say it didn't really matter, right? And Trump was just president. If Trump's personal interests had aligned with, like, quality work and, you know, like, getting people health care and stuff like that. If, like, let's say if 70% of the country was like, hey, I think we should do, you know, Medicare for all and all this other stuff, he would have been an amazing president because he was like, is this popular? Cool. Like, they love me? Great. We're doing Medicare for all, right? Like, that's the kind of guy he is. And because he has such control over the Republican Party, he could have moved them, right? He could have just been like, this is what we're doing. This is right for people. And they would have been like, yes, we've always believed this, right? Like, it would have been interesting, but it never works like that in reality. Like, life always, like, with people like Trump, their self-interests always align with just making more money for themselves and enriching themselves and their friends. So it's like, everyone else.
To that point, like, I saw online that he, like, this motherfucker put out a video today from the state of Florida asking his supporters, like, I need your money. Like, send me money. In Florida.
Like, it's a hurricane.
Right. As a fucking hurricane literally sucked all the water out of Tampa Bay. And is going to throw it back on Tampa Bay. But, like, in a much worse manner.
Yeah. I mean.
Like, this like this dude's like, I need your cash.
Yeah, but. I mean, in fairness, like, I get that the hurricane's coming, but, like, your Venmo still work? Like, hit me up. Hit your boy up. Like.
Right.
Like, does your Wi-Fi still work before the storm comes? Like, drop 50 on me. Come on now.
Right.
Like, knock it off. Are you a real Republican or not? And they don't give a shit, man. But look, this week's bang on or bullshit. Yeah, you gonna find out just the type of people they are. It's a really fascinating article.
I'm surprised that you didn't also pull the clip of him at the rally that he had over the weekend, where he was like talking about he's like no one wants to say the N word. He's like, you know, the N word. Everyone knows the N word. And he's like, come on, we can say it. And everyone in the crowd is getting really uncomfortable there for a couple seconds.
They're like, we doing this? Like,
and he's like, you know, the N word, nuclear.
Like,
no one says nuclear. And we were like, oh, okay.
That's not the N word. It's not the N word. Dude, if he said that at a rally, one, somehow he would become more popular with a lot of conservatives.
Insanely.
And somehow the news would be like, is it that bad? They say it in rap songs. I'd be like, that's not the conversation we need to be having right now. It'd be fucking weird.
I mean, that would be the conversation on Fox News. Like, they'd be like, I can't believe they got upset at him for saying it once. Like, but on this, you know, on this Jay-Z album, like, it's said 87 times. Like,
it's always a Jay-Z album. Like, that's the only rapper they know. They're like, he's very popular. Like, yes, he's very popular. That clip was hilarious. The N-word, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Don't get your racist Republican supporters to start chanting the N-word. Nuclear, not that one. Okay, so next up. The Oath Keepers are going on trial. And that is not a good thing for Donald Trump, incidentally. Stuart Rhodes, who is the head of the Oath Keepers and the founder, the guy who shot himself in the eye, who looks like, oh, this guy's a badass from, like, military service. No, he just dropped the loaded gun and shot himself in the face. And then he decided to go to law school after that because reasons. Dumb. So him and four other Oath Keepers are on trial. And their basic argument is, even though Stuart Rhodes did not go into the Capitol, and I don't think the other four guys did, but some of the Oath Keepers did go into the Capitol. Their argument is, and by the way, Stuart Rhodes has a law degree from Yale. So, like, this guy is no, like, he shouldn't be seen as just a dumb hillbilly, right? Like, this guy has an education and quite a profound one, right? Doesn't make him correct. So he is making the argument, and the other Oath Keepers are making a similar argument, that they were under the impression from the Trump folks that Trump was going to call down the Insurrectionist Act, right? And so then they were like totally cool with what they were doing, right? Mm-hmm. They had guns stored outside of DC. Like they're literally, their argument is, we were respecting the rules of Washington, D.C., but if the Insurrection Act were to be called up by the president, we were going to bring guns in and protect the president and blah, 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 and fucking not let evil Democrats take power, right? Incidentally, they're saying that like they were getting information and they were getting sort of direction from people close to Trump, right? Trump mm-hmm. and close to Trump. The reason why this is not good for Trump is, in order for these guys to make their case, they have to stick themselves closer and closer to the inside of the Trump administration, not get away from Trump. They have to prove that, like, no, dude, this guy and his guys were telling us what to do so that mm-hmm. we could do our thing. We were just doing what the president and the president's team was telling us to do. Two of the Oath Keepers have already flipped.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. And
wasn't it also reported that a call from the White House switchboard came into one of these guys on January 6th?
They don't know to who it came from, the switchboard to who, but to someone who was like in the crowd. So it could have been an Oath Keeper, could have been a Proud Boy, could have been some rando person. I mean, let's be honest, it's probably one of those guys, because those guys are actually like organized, right? It's very likely that it was someone in the Oath Keepers. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Stuart Rhodes specifically. One of the people who works, who was like sort of doing former FBI or at least former DOJ guy, he's kind of been all over the news cycle recently, put out a book, was saying that like they did a bunch of deep diving into Mark Meadows' text messages that he gave up, and it basically like laid out this roadmap, including he's the guy who broke the story about the call coming from the switchboard in the White House to a Capitol rioter. Mm-hmm. The fact that Rhodes and the Oath Keepers trial is basically hinged on them tying themselves to the Trump administration to save their own asses, even though I'm not sure that it even would, that bodes terribly for Donald Trump. That was terribly. They were giving security to Roger Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Is Roger Stone likely the intermediary between the Oath Keepers and the White House? I would argue probably yes. So what are your thoughts on this?
I'd love to see how this trial plays out. Because like you said, this has to be their defense. They don't have any other defense other than to be like, well, this guy told us to do it and he's the president, so we had to listen to him. It is going to be interesting to see if any like concrete evidence comes from this. That's the big thing, is we don't know what evidence they're going to offer up in order to see, in order to kind of prove their claims here. I would imagine that, especially since a couple of the Oath Keeper dudes have been cooperative with like the Jan 6 committee, mm-hmm. for example, that there's going to be too much that we haven't seen or at least aren't tangentially aware of, which doesn't bode well for the Oath Keeper dudes on trial. And
no,
you know what I mean? And so like we are like people that were involved in this shit are getting fucking locked up left and right now. Like they just sentenced the one of those guys that was beating on Officer Fanoni to I think 86 months in prison. So like, you know, these dudes are getting locked up pretty fucking tight when they go to trial. So
well, and if you notice, like we've gotten a lot of like, really, 3 months, like 4 months, 7 months, whatever, not a big deal. You're starting to get the big numbers now,
right? Right.
You're getting a guy like, okay, you were part of the serious violence, we're going to lock your ass up for 7 years. My guess is these Oath Keepers guys, they're not getting out. Like, my guess is they're going to nail these guys with real sedition charges, and these guys are gone. Like,
yeah, like I said, if you can definitely prove, you know, conspiracy for sedition, like, it's kind of, Like, you're gonna make an example of them for sure.
Yeah, and they should. They absolutely should. Two of the members, as I mentioned, two of the members charged with seditious conspiracy have struck deals, pleading guilty and cooperating with prosecutors. In addition, the government has a motherload of texts from messages between the group members that not only showcase their planning, but also the links to Roger Stone and others in Trump's orbit. They intended to tell the jury that when armed teams of Oath Keepers made plans to rush into Washington from Virginia on January 6th, they believed they would be following legal orders from the president himself, the New York Times reports. Because they claim to have been acting on the orders of Trump, the defendants plan to argue they believed the insurrection was legal.
Yeah. And then here's the other curious question. So, like, in order to prove this, they're going to have to call witnesses. Potentially in the Trump orbit, I would think.
Yeah. So. And it's weird, right? Because this is one of those weird cases where the two people who flipped, like, they're flipping for the government, right? They're, we'll tell you everything, blah, 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 blah. But them flipping actually helps these guys, the defendants. Like, in a weird way, right? Because they're like, cool, fucking tell them everything. Like, yes, like, we had the guns, blah, blah, blah. But, like, these guys were the guys who, like, Stuart Rhodes was talking to Roger Stone, like, on January 4th. Like, them dumping all of this shit to the jury actually helps Rhodes' case. Now, I don't think that a jury in their right mind would hear all of that and be like, all right, cool, like, Donald Trump told you to do it. That's fucked up. Like, what do you think this is? Like, did you not read about the Nuremberg trials? Like,
yeah.
Like, I was doing a job. Like, is not an excuse for fucking villainy, dude. Like, it's just not. They go, cool, you were doing a job. Yeah, we're going to get that other guy too. But we're going to get you. Like,
yeah,
fine. You'll do 100 years in prison. They'll do 105. Like, it's fine, but you're still going to go to fucking jail. So it's really weird that they think this is going to not work like that. But what other case do they have?
Yeah.
The only thing they can hope to do is like, hey man, it's not our fault. We're kind of dumb. Sorry. Like, it's not a good case. Like,
ignorance is also not an excuse for crimes.
Yeah. So. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. So, but I don't really think they have another out. Like, I think that their only out is like, the devil made me do it. Like,
I mean, their out is to get fucking reamed at trial and then to cut a deal with the feds, but that would involve them having to testify against bigger fish or to provide information on bigger fish. Like, they're trying to roll them up. So,
yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see, like, does Stuart Rhodes realize he's getting fucking rolled right now? I don't know that he knows that, right? Like, he's supposed to be an intelligent guy, but like, bad depth perception, bad thought process, like, you're getting fucking screwed, bro. Like, they had you and your boys storm the Capitol, get your weapons and all this other shit. Like, the rich boys ain't doing that. They got you to do it, right? They got you to run point on their insurrection. And because of that, like, the only way you make them pay is to flip and just burn these guys. Just flip, like, I don't know. Don't go to jail protecting them. I mean, you go into jail, but like, don't go to jail protecting them. Go to jail and be like, yeah, I'll see you when we get there. Like, that's the move.
And again, there's no reason to think that they won't. As we've seen many a time, there is no honor among thieves. And they can't be stupid enough to realize that, like, oh, like, Trump would certainly go to the mat for us. Like, no. Like, that dude's loyal to literally nobody. Like, he will throw anyone from the fucking train.
He is loyal to himself.
As long as it's for his benefit. So.
Yeah. I mean, it is funny because I was listening to they were talking about, like, on it was like the Chris Hayes show or something like that, and he was saying he was relaying a clip or a quote from Rhodes when he was talking. Oh no, he played a clip of Rhodes talking to Steve Bannon post the election, and he was saying, or even I think it was actually post January 6th, he was saying how pissed off he was at Trump for not, like, for letting Democrats, like, get this shit done and, like, make Joe Biden the president. Like, he couldn't believe it and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you're being rolled, my guy. Like, you don't get it even now? Like, but he was just like, I can't believe Trump just let it happen. Yeah, Trump just let it happen because Trump lost. He didn't let anything really happen. Yeah. He lost. And it is amazing how they are so blinded by their, like, loyalty to like, fascism and republicanism. I said the same thing twice. But, like, it's amazing how blind they are to that. Like, yeah, it's just letters. That they can't see that they're getting duped. Like, that to me is amazing. Yeah. I find it fascinating, but it'll be interesting. Like, is he going to be like true to the fucking message and like, I'm going to go down with the ship, or is he going to be like, nah, fuck that. Like, I don't know, man. Like, you went to Yale, dude. Be smart. Yeah. Like, be smart. Like, you're getting rolled, man. And they're going to throw your ass in prison and to never be heard from again. Meanwhile, Trump will go on and live his life. Like,
look, principles are principles, but prison's prison. And if you can spend less time in prison, you're gonna spend less time in prison.
And they ain't sending your ass to nice prison, dude. You go into like maximum security, federal, pound me in the ass prison. That's where you're going, you know. Like, and look, you probably be fine because you're probably around a bunch of white supremacists. But like, you wanna just live it? That's what you wanna do? All right, man. Like,
yeah.
It's not for me, man. It's not for me. All right, let's do some foreign policy. We haven't done any foreign policy in a while.
Yeah, the war's going real good, apparently, for Russia right now.
It's going great. It's going great. Vladimir Putin, who has now named himself like Supreme Commander or something fucking weird like that. Best of luck. That always goes well. He has decided that he is going to do a partial mobilization across the entire country of Russia, which is basically a big old fat draft, right? Like, it's conscription. Like, now, Russia has always had conscription. Its armed forces apparently consist of a corps of professional soldiers complemented by conscripts and reservists, right? We know that because they quite literally will take people who they don't care for, like prisoners and stuff, conscript them and then throw them into Ukraine to be murdered. Like, they've quite literally done that, right? Like, oh, you didn't agree with the war? Well, guess what, motherfucker, you're going. Like, but I don't want to go. Surprise. You're going. But Russian forces have suffered huge losses. Reportedly, 15,000 Russian soldiers have been killed in Ukraine. So Vladimir Putin has put in this partial mobilization. However, there is talk that 100,000 men have left Russia since this mobilization has been announced. I didn't realize this until I was reading this article. 300,000 men left at the beginning of the war. They were like, oh, word, y'all going tomorrow? Deuces. I'm out. So anywhere between likely 400,000 to 500,000 men from the ages of 18 to 27 have left Russia or will be leaving Russia over the next couple of weeks and months. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah. Well, and again, here's why conscription is always a fucking terrible idea. Because you're throwing people into a war that are underqualified and don't really want to be there. And when you're fighting for your life, those two things tend to not work really well in your favor, especially when you're fighting against people who are literally fighting for their homes, fighting for their brothers and sisters, fighting for their way of life, fighting for their freedom. And you were fighting because your autocratic, you know, dictator leader wants to flex his muscles a little bit.
Yeah. Look, you know, remember, Ukraine had that whole thing of like, hey, man, we'll give you like 50,000 fucking, I don't know, rubles or whatever fake money they have over there. Real money bucks. We'll give you 50,000 real money bucks and like you can live in Ukraine when all this shit's over. And people were like, I'm going to do that. Like, they were just like, I'm out, man. Fuck this. That's what's going to end up happening. You send all these conscripts over there and they're going to be like, no, fuck this.
And again, like Russia still can win a war of attrition because they just have more people that they can throw into the meat grinder to fucking, you know, come out clean on the other side. But A, how do you hold it? Like, we're already seeing Ukrainian soldiers take back, you know, areas
going
that Russia,
into Russia.
Yeah, they like take back areas that Russia had taken, you know, at the start of the war, like especially in the eastern parts of Ukraine. Zelensky's out here talking about like, yeah, not only are we going to drive the fucking Russians out, like we're going to take back Crimea. Like that shit's ours. Like let's fucking
go. That's wild. Yeah, that's wild, man. They're coming, yo. Because look, and you know, like no bullshit. And this should be taken very seriously. Like Vladimir Putin is like, look, we'll use nuclear weapons. Like we're not fucking around. I believe him.
Someone asked that in the Discord, and you know,
I'm not so sure he wouldn't, dude. I'm not sure. I'd like to think that he wouldn't.
I don't think that the people around him would allow it to happen. I really don't. Because again, like that would be it. If Russia decides to start using nukes, fucking Kremlin's about to be leveled. See ya.
That's a wrap for you. That's a wrap for you. because there's no way the US and the UN allow it. There's no way, dude. It'd be like, that's cool. You gotta go, right? It would probably be there. Like, I don't like to think about like nuclear strikes going across the world. That's just a fucking nightmare. But I can tell you what would likely happen would be you have like they do a nuclear strike in Ukraine, which would be a weird thing to do because one, you can't be there, right? Like, it's not like. Is this a neutron bomb? Like, what the fuck are you talking about, right? Like, you can't blow it up and then, like, all the buildings are destroyed and then you just move in. Like, no, that's just a place you can't use for fucking 200 years. It actually doesn't logically make sense, right?
No. Like you're not trying to destroy it. You're trying to occupy it. So, yes, you would not want to nuke it. That would probably be not that smart.
Right. So, like, that's what I'm saying. I would like to think that he wouldn't do that. But he's also fucking, like, his ego is crazy, right? Like, it's through the roof. So, I think what would end up happening is if they use a nuclear weapon inside Ukraine, wind, you fucking idiot. Like, right, just blow right back where the fuck it came from. But what would likely happen is the US and the UN would be like, hey, Russia, you have 1 week to get that fucker out from president. Like, or we will come the fuck in here. And like, we're not playing. We will retaliate, right? Like the U.S. doesn't need to use nuclear weapons. You know all the shit we have. Like what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like we don't need to use any of that stuff. We could do severe damage without ever cracking our nuclear arsenal at all, right? So, I think that's likely what would happen. Is like, all right, that's cool. You shouldn't have fucking done that. You guys have 1 week to fucking dispose of this guy.
Yeah.
Done.
Well, and by the way, like speaking of, we just talking about Trump and his insanity. I would think that Putin would be a cautionary tale for people on the right, because this is a dude that surrounded himself with yes men, surrounded himself with supplicants, and was the dude pulling all the strings. And he's been exposed, like their military, which was thought to be strong, has been exposed as a paper tiger. They're poorly drilled.
Yep.
They have shitty equipment.
Yeah.
They don't really give a fuck because, like you said, it's not like they're fighting for their homeland. Like they're fighting because Putin's like, get over there and fucking take that shit. They're just like, we don't want to fuck with these dudes. Like we don't
these guys. They're kind of like culturally Russian, dude. Like they're very they're similar, because that's actually the argument that Putin makes. But like they some of them speak Russian, dude. Like they're like a lot of them speak Russian. Like. They're not so – they don't feel like a fucking foreign adversary. They're just like – they just feel like your brothers that live fucking down the road. You know what I mean? Right. So,
and so because of he's such the singular force in that government, shit's been fucked up. Like it hasn't gone to plan because he was the dude pulling all the strings. And when the dude – and because the power is not balanced across a wide swath of people – then like if his plan's not on point, then you guys are fucked. And that's what's happening so far.
Yeah. Like Yeah, absolutely right. So to your point about training and stuff like that, right? And these folks being conscripted. Experts suggest that training could take months. Yet in one recent video, officers that can be heard telling new mobilized recruits that they will get just 2 weeks of training before being sent to the Ukraine. How much, like, how good of a soldier could you possibly be after 2 weeks of training in a fucking war zone versus actual people fighting for their absolute human survival?
But, right? But again, like, in Putin's eyes, though, like, he doesn't give a shit about those dudes. Like, they're grist for the mill. Like, that's all they are.
Yep, absolutely. Now, I will say this. I don't care where you are in the world. Mm-hmm. There are just facts that ring true. And I, like, all I could feel, like, when I read, and I will read the sentence, I highlighted it. All I could think was, wow, we really are just shitty fucking human beings, right? Everywhere. Reports have emerged of men receiving conscription papers en masse, especially in poorer areas in the east and south of the country, such as Chechnya and Dagestan. In Buryatia, excuse me if I'm mispronouncing it, an ethnic Mongolian region in eastern Siberia, men are being handed draft papers in the middle of the night. And I'll tie that to this next sentence so you can really get an understanding of what I mean. For the poor, it is obviously harder, right? Talking about, they were referring to the rich in the middle class. They pay bribes so they don't have to, they don't have to get conscripted. For the poor, it is obviously harder, which is one reason why Russia's armed forces are disproportionately manned by people from poorer regions and why a disproportionate number of those killed in Ukraine have been ethnic minorities, right? Mm-hmm. It is the same fucking everywhere. Our military is full to the brim with ethnic minorities, right? Republicans getting busted, getting caught on tape talking about, hey, man, I don't like this Joe Biden for giving college doing college loan forgiveness because it's going to hurt our military fucking recruitment. It is the same mentality from those guys to Vladimir Putin in Russia, sending young 18 to 27 ethnic minority men to die in Ukraine.
This isn't amazing. This isn't new, though. Like, this is history.
Yeah,
like Romans did this shit.
It's the same thing. We have not changed. We have not changed.
They're just like fight for Rome, and you'll get your plot of land that you can live on for the rest of your days. And they're just like, fuck it, hey, let's go. Like, you know, pulling people from the countryside to get them in the army to go fight wars of conquest and empire. Like, it's been the same thing for, you know, 2,500 years.
Yeah. So it works,
but because it's a tried and true method of success.
Yeah. Like you said, it's more grist for the mill. I just like that whole thing of like, you're sending ethnic minorities who are already treated like garbage in your country to die in another country against people who didn't do anything wrong. And you've got Ukrainians killing those people, right? Because they're just protecting their home. But you think shit is fucking sweet in fucking Chechnya? Hell no, it's not. Yeah. Those people don't want to fucking go.
Those people
are terrified. They're terrified.
There was a Blade Runner, I think it was an anime that came out. That
you fucking nerd. Go on. No, I mean,
like a Blade Runner anime where one of like the replicants, like, you know, kind of like when it clicked for them, is he was like it was a replicant army fighting another replicant army. Like they were just fighting each other.
Right.
Just driven by the like these corpos that were just fighting, like just said, like sending replicants against one another just to fight for whatever like piece of land. It's the same shit. Like it's the same fucking nonsense. Everywhere in the world has been throughout history, will be for all times. Yeah. Because again, like if you can provide incentive to people to, you know, hey, like lay, you know, throw take up arms and you know you'll be rewarded, whether it's with a free college education or whether, you know, whatever the reward is,
right? But in this case, it's not even with a level of reward. It's just right. You are poor, you're an ethnic minority, I don't give a shit about you, I mean, Putin hates the Chechens. Like, he absolutely does. I mean, you can go back to the beginning of his career as he tried to become prime minister. Or count, you know, chancellor, whatever the fuck bullshit fucking title.
Count is what he should be. So.
the count of Russia, right? Like, whatever the fuck he's on now, right? Supreme leader of the armed forces or whatever. He's always had an issue with the Chechens, right? Like, I mean, he quite literally blamed them for blowing up some apartment buildings. And a lot of people think, like, he kind of did it. Like, the KGB did it and then blamed them so that he could just kind of have a fucking iron fist on, around Chechnya. So it's sad that that works and that these people are going to be thrown into the meat grinder that is this war. But somebody made a point that I thought was really good, and it's so good that I could not possibly take credit for it. The guy, Bo from the Fourth Column, if you don't watch his videos, you should. He's a very smart guy. He made a point about the fact that what you're seeing is if there was conscription, his point was, if there was conscription in the United States right now, like you found it, you woke up tomorrow and they're like, fuck it, we're doing a draft across the entire United States for men 18 to 27. And you fell in that group, right? How quickly could you get all your money together to get the fuck out of the country? Could you do it in 24 hours? Could you do it in 48 hours? Could you do it in a week? Probably not, right? Most people would be like, oh, fuck, like, what am I going to do, right? And that's what's happening in Russia. The people who can move that fast are the rich and the well-to-do. And he was like, look, a lot of these European countries that are right next to Russia are like, oh, we don't want these fucking refugees. Get the fuck out of here. Like, this is your problem, Russia. You made this bed. You sleep in it. But he goes, listen, that's actually what you want, because you want the rich people to be pissed off. You want them to be unhappy. You want them leaving and thinking this is completely a nightmare fucking scenario, because those are the people who can actually move shit and go, we're done with this. Like, we're not, you're not sending my son off to a different country because he doesn't want to go to war. And that's a good point. Like, that's how you end this shit, is with money. That's how you end most things, right? Or start most things, is people with financial means can stand up and go, end of this. We're done. So, and I thought it was a really good point. Like, and I hadn't thought of that. But if you have 100, 200, 300,000 of these well-to-do men, they might actually have enough connections back to Russia to go, this shit needs to end. I want to see my son. Yeah. I want to see my husband again. Right.
Well, and again, like, this, and this is not like some fucking indictment on Russia and like, oh, isn't America so great? Like, we're barely two generations removed from the last time that we had a draft in this country. Like many of your parents and grandparents were drafted into military service. Like I, like everyone else in the country, has a selective service card that I had to get filled out when I was 18 years old. Not everyone in the country, every man in the country, right, had to, you know, get a selective service card filled out when I was 18 years old.
Right.
And just in case it ever needed to happen again.
Yeah.
So I count ourselves very fortunate, like, you know, for all the problems the military has, and for the fact that, you know, the GI Bill is basically just fucking bribery, essentially, to bribe people in the military. I am glad that enough people volunteer their service that we don't have to do things like institute a draft in this country.
Yeah. So thankfully. You should check out, Bo of the Fifth Column. Like, that guy's really, really good. He makes some really smart points. Yeah, I think he's like former military. He does not look like you would assume a person of his
of his viewpoints.
Yeah. You're not you're like, this is the guy? Like, nah, but take a listen. Like, he's a really fucking smart dude.
He's like the not insane Brett, like, Terhune, basically.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. But I like him. He's a super, super bright dude. And very plain spoken. And like, he's never talking about stuff. You're like, huh? What? Like, yeah. He's very plain spoken, and he knows what the fuck he's talking about. The conscription thing is really fucking interesting. Look, let's talk about Biden destroying QAnon, making their heads explode. Biden signs bill eliminating civil statute of limitations for child sex abuse victims. Uh-oh, QAnon. Who's protecting children now? Think about it.
Mm. Not only Biden, but, you know, Congress, the Democrat run Congress, getting that bill passed.
Come on now. Yeah, heads exploding all over wherever the fuck QAnon is. I don't know. Canada? I don't know where it is anymore.
On your uncle's Facebook page.
Yeah, not my uncle. Jesus Christ. He'd be like, what the fuck is this? These white people are crazy. The Eliminating Limits of Justice for Child Sex Abuse Victims Act was passed by the House by voice vote on Tuesday after passing the Senate by unanimous consent in March. Yo, like, if anyone in the House is against this, well, they should be arrested.
Hey, check this out. So here's the list of names who introduced the bill and co-sponsored it. So Dick Durbin,
mm-hmm.
Dianne Feinstein,
mm-hmm.
Patrick Leahy, John Cornyn, and Marsha Blackburn.
Yeah, yeah. What happened? That's what, fucking three Democrats and two Republicans, man.
Yeah.
Like, and look, and, like, and, frankly, and what, frankly, and it's a thousand Republicans. Look, frankly, Marsha Blackburn counts for like 1,000 Republicans because she's fucking nuts. So if she's on board, it must be pretty good for protecting kids or whatever, right?
Right.
The bill eliminates time constraints for victims to file civil claims related to sex abuse crimes against minors, including forced labor, sex trafficking, sexual abuse, and sexual exploitation of children. Previously, minors who survived such abuse were able to file federal claims until they reached the age of 28 or until the decade after the violation of the injury was discovered. This just makes sense. Why is there a statute of limitations on a horrendous crime like this? This is not like I stole someone's lunch money. This is sexual abuse. Like,
yeah,
come on.
I mean, there's some of the reasons why there is statute of limitations on sex crimes. One, evidence becomes hard to procure after a certain amount of time.
Sure.
A lot of these crimes are like newer in terms of like things that are charged or the way things are looked at, not just in terms of child abuse, but in like, you know, sexual assault cases and things of that nature as well. But you're right. Look, if the great protectors of children around the world, the Republican Party, like they had united control of government for, you know, a couple of years there. Like, why didn't they introduce a bill like this? Weird.
Yeah. Why didn't Donald Trump, who I believe is Q, according to QAnon, why did he not do it? Right. Oh, because he doesn't give a fuck about that. Right.
Yeah.
Also, that guy tried to look at like the young Miss America people, like girls. Like,
not tried. Did.
Did.
Did. Like bragged about being able to go backstage like whenever he wanted.
That's gross.
That's quite gross.
I don't know, man. I think that guy might be a creep. Weird.
Yeah, just a little bit. So.
Just a tad. Brad, I'm going to need you to explain why conservative veterans would vote for this fucking guy.
I have trouble. So J.R. Majewski is currently running.
I'm sorry. His name is J.R. Majewski. That's a funny name. That's just a funny name.
It is. So he's running for a House seat in Ohio. And basically, like in his, like, you know, stump speeches and stuff like that, he's touted himself as being a Air Force combat veteran who just suffered through the hardships during the in Afghanistan during the war and, you know, all this other stuff. And basically, like, the House Republican Campaign Committee put out, you know, they, you know, on his biography, like, oh, his squadron was, they were one of the first on the grounds in Afghanistan after 9/11 fighting freedom. But the AP published documents that they found that showed that he was stationed in Japan for most of his military service. Mm-hmm. He did spend 6 months in Qatar, though, where he did the very important work of helping load planes. And again, not here to minimize anyone's service. Like, everyone that serves, you know, is fulfilling an important role in our country.
Sure.
I have great respect for people that joined the military. Maybe don't lie about the kind of shit you did, though, when you were in there, especially when these lies are easily disproven.
No, but they're not, though, Brad, because when he was in Afghanistan, according to him,
not just according to him, by the way,
his work in Afghanistan was classified.
Something that was said, according to him, by Donald Trump, the former president, said, "Oh, that's why we can't talk about it, because I know that the stuff he did was classified."
There's no way that's true.
Of course not.
So,
of course not.
So, if you're a conservative, and you hear this story,
stolen valor.
You should be yelling. Yeah, you should be yelling stolen valor. You know, you should be like, that's not cool, man. This guy is like, yo, I was in the shit. Like, okay, I don't know a lot of things. I a bit of an idiot. Okay, but what I do know is, if I was in the military and I did some shit that was like top secret, like, oh, it's classified, I probably wouldn't go on the campaign stump and go, my work over there was classified. I would just, like, I feel like I would say, yes, like, I just wouldn't keep going and saying it's classified. Well, if it's classified, why the fuck you keep saying it? Like, just shut the fuck up.
That's great. It wasn't classified until he got called out on his bullshit. He was more than happy to talk about, you know, this supposedly classified stuff that he did. Until all of a sudden it's like, hey, like, we can't actually find a record of you doing anything. He's like, oh, you know, classified.
Yeah, yeah.
But you've been talking about it. Like, if it was classified, you wouldn't be able to say shit. Like, you wouldn't even be able to say where you were. Like, you wouldn't even be able to say the kind of stuff that you're doing.
Right. Like, I quite literally know a guy who was, I guess he's no longer in the, I think he was in the Air Force. And like, he's a doctor, right? He's a doctor for the Air Force. He quite literally could not tell his wife where he was.
Oh, my one of my wife's best friends, her husband is a current sergeant in the Air Force, and he's gone on a couple tours in Afghanistan. And again, like, while he was over there, like, he literally could not tell her. Like, I can't tell you where I'm stationed. I can't tell you what base I'm on. Like, you know, like, I'm just in Afghanistan. That's all you know. And by the way, don't fucking tell me. Tell anyone that either.
Right. And like, this guy was like, yo, I'm in Africa. Like, that was it. Like, that's it. Like, Africa's very big. Like, I can't tell you.
And again, this dude, like my friend, he's like a chief engineer. Like, he's a staff sergeant. He basically runs the fucking repair shop. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, he's telling people to turn wrenches and fix planes and shit like that. It's not exactly, you know, fucking state secrets that we,
right,
you
he's
know,
not, like, he's like, not we fucking got, Admiral Bond
yeah.
over there.
Yeah. He's not running secret missions, you know, like, you know, flying through the air, stuff like that. But even then, like, it's just like, no, like, I can't.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. But this guy is like, nah, I was taking down Krauts back in 32. Like, nah, yo, you weren't fucking doing anything. You were loading planes, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But you were the guy with the fucking sticks going like, hey, this way. Like, that's
and,
not
and again, like, okay. it's stories like this that boggles my mind as to why anyone in the military fucks with the Republican Party. I get that, like, the military is actually much more ideologically diverse than we give them credit for. Like, we think they're all like fucking right wing assholes that vote for this shit. But only Republicans are out here doing this shit. They fucking, you know, yelled at John Kerry for like the whole fucking Swift boat incident. That was like the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even that fucking, like, that was a bullshit story.
Yeah. It was just completely made up. So, like, it is kind of fascinating that they would still back this guy. I don't understand why the military backs the right wing. I've quite literally never understood it, but, you know, whatever. Like, they say, again, for people who are on the right, who are in the military, it's like, they say the buzz phrases I like, that's fucking enough. Doesn't matter that they vote against, you know, shit that helps veterans or abstain from it or quite literally make up lies about it. So, you know, and say it doesn't help veterans when it does. Yeah. Irrelevant. just fucking irrelevant. Yep. So yeah, the incidentally, yeah, they are pulling money from that race. Republicans,
well, and to their credit, and to my shock, like I can't believe that, like the party's pulling financial support away from him in the wake of this stuff.
I'm actually not surprised. And I think,
really?
I'm not surprised, but I don't think it's because of the scandal. I think they saw the fucking polls and they were like, nah, we got to help all these other guys who are getting fucking destroyed in other races.
Well, they're also pulling money away from J.D. Vance, which I think is also very interesting.
They are
as well. So,
my understanding is like, they're kind of teetering on, Mastriano as well. Like,
yeah.
Fucking what's his name is done. Well, Dr. Oz is done. They're just like, fuck that.
Vance is surprising because that race is actually very close. Like he's polling neck and neck with Tim Ryan right now. And actually, yeah. I think it's a little bit ahead. So
nah, but I think there's polling and then there's internal polling. Right. Correct. And they're like, yes. This is probably going to break a different way. Either they think, hey, he's fine. Mm-hmm. And like we could pull back and go somewhere else and help some people in need, or they really do think like the internal polling is that bad, and they're like, nah, this guy's not gonna fucking make it.
By the way, it's on the docket. Speaking of fucked up like GOP shit in campaigns right now, did you see the quote from like Tudor Dixon in Michigan the other day? So she's running against Gretchen Whitmer for governor.
Oh, I did. Yes.
Yeah, and basically something along the lines of like, oh, like Governor Whitmer's so worried about being kidnapped, but she has no qualms about holding, you know, big businesses hostage. I was like, you're fucking going there? Really?
Yeah, the kidnapping thing. What a joke. Yeah. Like, yo. Yeah,
it feels like that might be a third rail that you don't want to really fucking.
Yeah, yeah. They were trying to kill that woman, you know. Like they wanted to murder her like on live TV type of shit. Like, yo, is there no bottom to that barrel for you guys? Like
there really isn't.
Like I feel like as Republicans and Democrats, you could kind of come together and be like, yeah, we probably shouldn't kill politicians, guys. Like, I'm just saying, like, that could be a thing that you're like, you know what? Like, first off, I'm glad they caught those guys. Like, that's unacceptable. This is a fucking place where we can have a debate of ideas, you know, in the marketplace of ideas, as the Nazis would say.
I like how you're like, I would think Republicans can agree, let's not kill politicians when half of them still can't condemn the January 6th.
No. They wanted to literally string up their own guy. And kill him. So yeah, look, it's wishful thinking that they would not want murder, but
yeah, we as Republicans agree you should not kill politicians except for all the ones we don't like. Yeah. Other than that, though, don't kill any politicians.
Yeah, not the ones we like. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Don't be foolish. Speaking of fools, Rudy Giuliani, Nosferatu stand-in, faces jail time if he can't pay his ex-wife Judith Nathan $235,000, says Manhattan judge. One of the all-time great quotes here. I don't know if you saw this. Giuliani told the judge, quote, "The only thing I can tell you is that it's not much of an excuse, but I am being sued in 10 different cases." Look, I would pay this woman, but I'm getting fucking destroyed in 10 other cases. Can you just cut me a break? Please.
He is the king of shit excuses. Remember when he's like, oh, I can't go to Georgia because I'm a frail old man and I can't fly in a plane? And they're like, ride a bus, dude. Like, fucking A, come on.
Hey, John Madden, get your ass down here. Get the fuck out of here. I love that, man. I just love that. I'm being sued in 10 other cases. Like, what do you want from me? Yeah, so he owes his ex-wife. I don't think this is the first cousin ex-wife. I think this is I think this is the other one. Which is an important distinction, by the way. A part of their like divorce agreement, it says she was like he was supposed to kick out a couple of payments of $45,000 a pop. And he didn't do that shit. He didn't pay in full. He's like, look, I'll pay. I'll fucking get to it. Leave me alone. They're like, nah, that's cool. Don't worry about it. But if you don't fucking pay that shit up soon, you go into jail.
Please.
Look, whatever gets this asshole in jail.
Like
him
like,
going to jail for this would be glorious.
So like in the board game monopoly, right? Like there's a strategy that's accepted by most folks. Like early in the game, when shit's unowned on the board, and if you go to jail, like you want to pay to get out right away because you want to be snapping up property. But like once the property's all built and all you're gonna be doing is paying people, like when you go into jail, like you want to sit in jail, like you don't want to get out until you absolutely have to. I feel like Rudy Giuliani's at the stage where he's just like, ah, just send me to prison. Like it's better than getting reamed up the ass by all these lawsuits that are coming at me.
Right, like, now. Look, I would come to all 10 of these cases, but I'm in jail. Like, so right. It's fine. It's fine.
Again, just when we think we continue to see the bottom of the greatest fall from grace in recorded human history, like Rudy Giuliani, like takes out his shovel and just keeps on fucking digging, baby. Like it's incredible. It's incredible.
There is no bottom. Not for Rudy Giuliani. There is no bottom, man. There isn't a bottom. And I kind of love it. I do like the idea of this guy going to jail for this, right? Like of all the things he's done, this is the thing. Like his ex-wife is like, give me my fucking money, you asshole. And he's like, fuck, I'm out of cash.
Does he have this money? Because like, wasn't he like crying poor in some of these cases or something like that? I can't remember what his whole fucking,
yeah, he's probably fucking sweating.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if
he's have you guys seen my monthly hair dye? budgets, like how much I have to pay to dye my hair every single month. Like, there's no way I have this money to I don't know why my Giuliani's going to some like fucking like Polish.
Yeah,
Polish
it's fine. But... It's fine. It was like a bit of a Jewish granddad. Like I respect it. Yeah, I feel like you need like dentures a rattling in order to like really nail that
voice. That's the problem, is that my teeth aren't big enough to really truly capture the Giuliani voice.
Right. And it's like veneers on top, regular rat teeth at the bottom. Right. It's very weird.
Cause when I do Giuliani, like usually it veers towards like Bernie Sanders. Like that's usually where that impression ends up.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Those two characters are nothing alike.
No, not even a little bit.
Just two old.
Except for the fact that two New York old guys. So.
That's it. Bang on or bullshit this week. Quite a doozy, I would argue. The kids love it. So the title of this opinion piece is "Just How Racist Is the MAGA Movement? This Survey Measures It."
Incredibly racist.
Pretty racist. Pretty racist. So I'm gonna hit you with a couple of the facts here. So this is a Washington Post opinion article. So what they did was they, the Public Religion Research Institute, they came up with a survey that asked respondents about 11 statements designed to probe views on racism. For example, statements like, quote, "White Americans today are not responsible for discrimination against black people in the past." The pollsters then use their answers to quantify a, quote, "structural racism index," which provides a general score from 0 to 1, measuring a person's attitudes on white supremacy and racial inequity, the impact of discrimination on African-American economic mobility, the treatment of African-Americans in a criminal justice system, general perceptions of race, and whether racism is still a significant problem. Higher scores indicate a more receptive attitude towards racist beliefs. Okay. Higher scores indicate a more receptive attitude towards racist beliefs.
This is like your racism batting average, basically.
Yes. The higher the number, the worse it gets. All right. So here are a couple of quotes. "Among all Americans, the median value of structural racism index is 0.45. Remember, 0 to 1. So that's like just below the middle, right? Like Americans on average are racist.
Moderately racist.
Moderately racist, right? On average, all races, rich or poor, rural, city, on average, I won't really fuck with each other like that, right? Like that's basically it. We're not at 50%. We're at 45%. We're not doing great. But we're not doing horrible, right? 45%, near the center of the scale. The median score for
Like to me, like the like a 0.45 racism is like, I'm not going to call a black guy the N-word, but I don't believe in like structural racism. Like that, like that's kind of kind of like where that lies.
Exactly, exactly. I feel like everybody can pull themselves up by their bootstraps, totally right. across the board. That's ridiculous, right? Or that's like a black person saying, "Look, I don't hate white people, but they smell like dogs when they sweat." Like, right? Like just like general shit. All black people. Look, spoiler: all black people believe that about white people. We do.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah, for the most part. Look, look. It's true. It's true. You guys do. You sound like wet dogs. It's kind of crazy. It is what it is. Next time you go to the pool, you're just like, like that smell. That's like black people are looking at. If you see a black person like looking at you, kind of funny. That's what they're thinking.
It's the wet dog smell.
It's the wet dog smell. They're like, I knew it. So, all right. So that's the 45%. The median score, and here's where it gets interesting. The median score for structural racism index for Republicans is 0.67%.
Yeah, 2/3 racist.
How about that? Feel like that score is a little low. I bet they could ask a couple more questions, get that number up. Those are rookie numbers. I bet you could. I bet it's higher than that. But 0.67% or 0.67. That's not good compared to again 4.45 for all Americans. Democrats are 0.27, right? Okay, there you go. Look, I didn't. These are not my numbers.
Science.
These are their numbers. These are the science, right? White even, and this is what I found probably to be the most fascinating. White evangelical Protestants have the highest median score of 0.64. While Latter-day Saints, white Catholics, and white mainline Protestants each have a median of 0.55.
Right? I am shocked. Before you get to the atheist numbers, which are completely what I expected, I'm shocked that your average white evangelical Protestant is apparently less racist than your average Republican.
Yeah.
Only by a hair. But,
right. Like, I feel like they're not quite overlapping circles. Like, there's a little bit of an edge. There's a little bit of an edge there, but, like, not much. Not much. By contrast, now, remember, white evangelical Protestants, 0.64. Latter-day Saints, white Catholics, white mainline Protestants, 0.55, right? Just above the middle. By contrast, religiously unaffiliated white Americans, 0.33. So it isn't actually about being white. It's about being white and religious. That is fucking fascinating to me.
What I've always said, Jay, what I've always said, that religion begets hate.
I mean, the numbers don't lie, and they spell disaster for your sacrifice.
Perfect.
I mean, come on. Like, I would found
our show title and image for the week. Fantastic.
I mean, just under the hour mark too, by the way.
Right.
Look, if you've never seen that video, it's amazing. Last but not least in this article, the survey also captured just how popular the lost cause to rewrite the history of the Civil War and downplay or ignore the evil of slavery is on the right. Quote, Republicans overwhelmingly back efforts to preserve the legacy of the Confederacy, 85%, compared with less than half of independents, 46%, and only 1 in 4 Democrats, 26%. The contrast between white Republicans and white Democrats is stark. Nearly 9 in 10 white Republicans, 87%, compared to 23% of white Democrats support the efforts to preserve the legacy of the Confederacy. My guess is that 23%, mostly Southern Democrats.
Probably.
Mostly Southern.
Probably.
85% of Republicans want to preserve the legacy of the Confederacy, a group of people who literally tried to destroy the country. That you say you
traitors, are. Traitors to the nation.
Yeah. That's amazing to me. But it's a really fascinating article. You should read it. There's a couple little other kind of nuggets in there, but I thought those were the choice ones. Look, man, if you're white and you're religious, you're a fucking problem. Like, that's what this article says.
As we've said it before, we'll say it again. Like, these are the dudes that literally said, hey, this guy from the Middle East spent all his time outdoors, hung out with his homies, alabaster white skin.
Yeah, that's a kind of a problem. Like, that shit does not line up. Like, it just doesn't. It doesn't line up.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Doesn't make sense.
We all
know Jesus was European. Like, no, we don't know that actually.
I met a white couple that believed that, and they would only say that shit when I wasn't around. I was
of
like,
of course they would.
I was like, what? Like, my friend told me that. I was like, wait, they believe what? He was like, yeah, no, they believe Jesus is like from like England or something. I was like, that's the most insane thing I've ever heard. I was like, if I ask them, are they going to say? He was like, they will never cop to it in front of you because they're scared of black people. I was like, good. Good. And I would just say wild shit around them all the time. Like, it's just on purpose. I'm like, come on. I'm like, come on, say it. Say that word. Nuclear. Come on, say it. So I want to fight you. This week in stupid. As I wrote it, pedo unable to attract new victims, like and subscribe. Matt Gaetz not able to get people to come to his Twitch stream who don't hate his fucking guts. Matt Gaetz drew only 6 viewers to his inaugural Twitch stream. For those who don't know, Twitch is a very popular platform that people watch. Mostly people play video games, but occasionally people do other things like podcasts and you know, recruiting for young teenage girls, I assume. Brad, you are a video game aficionado. Like, is 6 people on a Twitch stream, is that good?
I gotta tell you. I have never empathized more with Matt Gaetz in my entire life. I did around this article. It's hard to get started on Twitch, Jay.
Dude, it's super hard.
It is difficult to find an audience on Twitch. Now, what was hilarious about this, and we talked about this on...
Actually, before you go, are you going to make fun of Matt Gaetz specifically?
Yes, absolutely. Okay,
before you get there, I do want to point this out. They make this point in the article. Just to do a little bit of bragging. Just do a little bit of bragging on my part. It says the growing community on Twitch is not easy. According to data from the Sully Gnome and Twitch tracker, the top 1% of Twitch streams have an average of approximately 20 concurrent viewers during their streams. The users pulling in tens of thousands of viewers each stream are the platform's top 0.1%. They account for 74% of the total watch time on the platform. I would just like to point out that our other show, Black on Black Cinema, when we were putting our shit on Twitch, we had more than 20 concurrent.
That's pretty good. Isn't it weird how Twitch
we view were the counts, top like 1%?
Isn't it weird how Twitch view counts mirror like world economics, basically?
Yeah. Being in the top 1% means fucking nothing. It means absolutely nothing. Yeah. So please make fun of him.
Yeah, so what was funny and what's not mentioned here, but we talked about this on Dense Pixels this week, is that literally like the day before Matt Gaetz announced, like, I'm coming to Twitch, Bloomberg put out a report discussing how Twitch has unfortunately become a haven for child predators trying to groom and trying to keep tabs on children, because there's a lot of like younger teenagers that stream
of course.
Twitch. And then who shows up but none other than Mr. accused child predator himself, Matt Gaetz, which we also learned unfortunately this week that the DOJ is unlikely to bring charges against him.
Yeah, so somebody's daddy paid them off, right? Like that's clear. Because his dad's like a rich guy.
Yeah.
I don't find that acceptable. I don't find that acceptable. Like, I just don't. I don't know how true that's going to end up being. But I really hope it isn't. Like, that guy, again, for people who don't remember that story, that guy and his buddy who got in trouble, like, who legitimately got in trouble for this shit.
You pled guilty.
Yeah, you pled guilty.
Yeah.
Those two guys were quite literally having sex with a 17-year-old girl. Now, they say that they didn't know that she was 17, right? And weirdly, I believe them because of what they did next, which they were like, oh shit, you're 17? Get the fuck away from us. We can't mess with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the dirtbag behavior comes in that when she turned 18, they were like, what's up, girl? Hey, let's fucking do it. What the fuck, man? Like, that's unacceptable.
And the reason given, so apparently, like, this was said by two high-ranking people in DOJ, like, on background, basically, that was commenting on this. This wasn't an official thing from DOJ. But basically, because the prime witness against him is Greenberg, right, who is, like, an admitted felon and shit like that, like, it makes it harder to bring charges, because if that's your best source of evidence against him, like, no, like, he's not likely to be believed, essentially.
Yeah, try.
Yeah, ironic that works that way, but...
Yeah, yeah, like, dude, we do crimes together. We're hella into crime. Also, like, they got caught paying this girl.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Venmo shit. Yeah, I remember all that, too.
Thanks. Underage sex, $50. Like, what the fuck, man? What are you doing?
But yeah, just listen, I just found that hilarious that it's like, ah, child predators on Twitch. And then, like, Matt Gaetz, like, oh, really? Like, let me get my account created real quick.
Turns out I could get more than 20.
Just for the record, AOC fucking crushed it on her inaugural Twitch stream.
It was like millions.
It wasn't millions, because like nothing ever gets millions of concurrent.
Oh, I guess a couple
streamers, viewers, thousands, but like it was a lot. Was
tens
a lot.
Of thousands, I guess.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, yeah, because she was playing like what's that game?
Among Us.
Among Us. Yeah.
Yeah.
With like Hassan the Hun, Hassan Piker. So like here's the thing. Using video games as a way to reach out to young people is a perfectly reasonable thing when it comes to like playing Among Us and stuff like, and getting young people engaged so they can vote like when they're of age. I got no problem with it. Matt Gaetz shouldn't even be allowed to do this. Like he shouldn't be allowed, like quite literally allowed. If I was Twitch, I'd be like, no. Like,
I mean, they allow other politicians to have
no, but I would be like, you are being investigated for child endangerment.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'd be like, no, not just because he's Matt Gaetz and he's a Republican. I don't give a shit about that. But like the fact that you were being criminally investigated for trying to fuck kids. Mm-hmm. No, you cannot be on our platform.
I mean, truth be told, like I said, Matt Gaetz being a fucking terrible human being aside, like I give him a lot of credit for going to Twitch, because again, like if you're a smart person, Republican or Democrat, like you need to look for alternative ways to reach voters like this, and the next generation, like the Gen Zers, are all fucking on Twitch. Like they're all there. Like, so if you want to reach them, like you can't do regular TV ads. YouTube doesn't even work as well. Like you got to have a presence on some of these alternative platforms. That's Twitch. That's TikTok. That's, you know, other streaming platforms that pop up. So
TikTok is a lot of work. I've tried.
A lot of work.
I've tried. I don't get it. I don't get it. I think I'm too old. Why are you screaming? Stop screaming on this fucking platform. What are you doing? They're just like, woo! And it's like 5 million views. I'm like, all right, I don't get it. Too old. All right. I think that is it for us. Look, free episode this week for everybody, because this is like an hour and 4 minutes.
Well, it's longer than that because we actually had to stop recording part of the way through the stream.
I'm going to give it away. I said it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to give away the whole episode for everybody. So enjoy this episode. Okay. I believe it is October 14th, Brad, is okay. The Raphael Warnock Herschel Walker debate.
Oh, no. I'm going to be in North Carolina again.
Oh, come on, dude. What the fuck? Are you serious?
Yeah, it just got. Wait, it's a Friday, though?
Herschel Walker.
Oh, I think I actually fly back that day. Wait, so we might actually be okay.
Wait, hold. What day is it? Brad, I swear to God, if you let me down, you motherfucker. October 14th.
It's a Friday though, right?
I don't know. Brad, it fucking better be, man. Like, it better be. Like, you fucked up. You fucked up. I don't care about your job. Get out of here. Knock it off. October 14th is, in fact, a Friday.
Okay. So that's the day that I come back. And usually I fly back in the early afternoon. So
All right, Brad.
We'll be okay. We might still be okay.
All right. Because listen, this is going to be easy. We're just watching and just making fun. Like, we don't have a docket. we will probably not even put out an episode that week. It will just be watch us live handle this fucking
in our personal chat with Yumi and Andy. We've been making fun of the Occupy Democrats Twitter account, which turns out they're probably like huge scammers. But they put out a tweet that said MAGA Senate candidate Herschel Walker defends holding a gun to his ex-wife's head and threatening to quote blow her quote brains out by quoting the Bible saying quote he without sin cast the first stone, all caps. Retweet if you've never held a gun to someone's head.
Look, their method of getting engagement is amazing.
Oh my god.
That's fucking hilarious. Retweet if you've never held a gun to someone's head. I haven't. Like, okay, Occupy Democrats, I will retweet you. You're absolutely right. Man, you guys are good at engagement. Look, I just... I'm looking forward to this. I gotta tell you, that's 2 weeks, man. That's 2 weeks away. Like, who's not hyped for this? I just truly
gonna be the Leslie Knope versus Bobby What's His Nuts from Parks and Rec debate. like Raphael Warnock's gonna give a great answer, and like Herschel Walker's like, wow, he's really smart. Like he's really good at this.
I know, right? I would vote for him. Like, it's just going to be such just gibberish, dude. Just such profound gibberish. Oh, my God. I can't wait. Best of luck, Herschel.
did you also see the speaking of TikTok? So his kid, like his crazy son, the one that we're all aware of, not the other two that we didn't know about until a couple months ago, apparently moved from L.A., to Florida and is fucking miserable in Florida. Like, he fucking hates it. And he was like I'm talking all about, like, oh, like, I'm going to move to a red state and start everything. And he fucking can't stand it.
Yeah, dude. You're a gay black man in America. The fuck are you doing?
Wants to go back so bad.
Then go back. What the fuck? Who's holding you there?
Yeah.
Is your dad making you stay there? Like, he don't live in Georgia, so what the fuck does it matter? Leave. Get the fuck out. Go to L.A. Why are you being miserable? I don't want to live here. Isn't your dad rich? Leave. Gives a fuck. Yeah, unless you're living in Miami. Like, where are you living? Like, congratulations, you moved to Florida. Now there's a giant hurricane to destroy all your shit. Wow. Don't live there. All right, that is it for us. We will see you guys next week.